pray, Lord, that you would bless Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us this morning, Lord. And it's in Jesus' precious name we do pray this morning. Amen. Please be seated, everybody.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Ray, for leading us musically this morning. And I also want to remind everyone that next Sunday, we're going to do something just a little bit different. We'll have an opportunity to hear a little bit from Huey, and we'll be up here, and we're going to kind of do an interesting interview style, and so we can hear a little bit more about his recent health experience and some of the things that God was teaching him through that process. And I hope that it's eye-opening, and also that it would serve as an encouragement for all of us in different ways. So we'll have an opportunity to do that next week, so we'll look forward to that. Today, we are wrapping up week four, or a month-long look at different aspects of God's will, and we've looked at a whole bunch of different things, and there's so much more. I mean, we could really spend probably a whole semester worth talking about all the different facets of following God's will and what that means for not only us, but what that means for God's people in this world. And one of the things that I was thinking about to wrap this up is that when it comes to God's will, sometimes it feels like certain people have God on speed dial. Like they have like an always 5 bars good signal. Like they just have that kind of sense. Perfect satellite communication system all the time. And other people, and maybe you have felt this at times, it feels like the network keeps dropping your call. And you're waiting and trying to get in touch with the Lord or seeking his will, but you're getting a busy signal or no signal, or it's just kind of static on the line. Now, if you have too much static on the line, you can always talk to Ezra. He would be happy to help work out all of your wiring needs with AT&T especially, but you could talk to him about those practical things with that. Maybe you feel somewhere in between the two. Like, you know, sometimes you have a sense, a clear sense of what God is doing or saying, and other times you have no clue. And maybe you do all of the different types of things that we've talked about the last couple of weeks. Things like you pray, you look to the Bible at what God has already said, you maybe seek godly wisdom in another person that you trust, a family member, maybe a friend or a teacher or somebody else. But sometimes when you don't hear anything, you start to wonder, is it me? Like, is there something wrong with me? Am I the problem with this connection? Am I doing something wrong, Lord? How do I know your will? What is your will? And there's those times, and I think we all experience this, where we feel a little bit adrift, like we're stuck in the mud, kind of spinning your wheels. When I was in the Midwest and it was wintertime, sometimes you would go over a snowdrift and your car would kind of high center, and then your wheels would just spin, and the only way out was to either rock it back and forth or to get out with a shovel and try to like make a little pathway for your... Sometimes you just feel like that, like you just can't make any forward progress. But the good news, my friends, is that you're not alone in this. Sometimes you feel like you're alone, but everyone experiences this in different ways and at different times in life. Everybody that I know has been there before, or you will be in the short order at some point. Over these last 3 weeks, we've looked at different aspects of God's will. We've asked different questions. We've explored some examples from the Bible. Last week, we looked at the life of Paul and how God often worked with him, not just in supernatural ways, but in a lot of natural ways as well. And today I want to end or conclude this short series by looking at some of what I would consider the missteps or traps that can cause us to miss God's will or actually avoid God's will. I think it's safe to say that if we are earnestly looking to God, we would appreciate it sometimes if God would give us a sign. We've talked about that before. You know, whether it's, you know, blinking lights or whatever the case may be, having a sign sometimes is a very helpful thing. But I want to highlight three traps for us this morning. And the first one is related to this, and it's this: wanting or waiting for more and more signs. Waiting for more signs. Now, I don't think that wanting a sign from God is necessarily wrong. But one of the traps that we fall into is sometimes he sends a sign. Sometimes he speaks clearly, but we don't like that sign. We don't like that person or voice. So, oh, that must be the wrong sign. I just need another one, Lord. I'm just going to, and we like to kind of spiritualize it. I'm going to lay out a fleece before the Lord, like they did in the Bible. And yes, we are supposed to grow spiritually. And we are supposed to be aware that there is a spiritual realm beyond our vision. There's a world that we do not see that is always at work. And there could be lots of reasons that we would want more signs from God. But I think one reason, and I don't think it's a good one reason we sometimes want to wait for more signs is that we just are looking for God to confirm or justify what I already want to do. I want a sign, Lord, that shows that you are in agreement with me. Isn't it so wonderful, Lord, that I want this? It must be your will. Look, Lord, if I get 5 green lights in a row, then I know it's your will. And then I see that 5th light and I speed up just so I can get through that green. It must be God's will. Sometimes we want more signs because we're just trying to avoid seeing or hearing what he's already said to us. We try to hide it at times. Sometimes we want to look super spiritual to the people around us. Lord, I love to pray. Let everyone see that I'm praying. Lord, I love to read my Bible. Let me make sure I walk around like this all the time. We like to appear super spiritual even when we know that God has already spoken. We just don't want to do what he says. And we might be able to hide our motives and desires and our own personal will from other people, but you know as well as me, we cannot hide this from God, because only God knows the truth in our heart. So we say, send me a sign, God, and I'll wait for one that agrees with me. Send me a sign, God, so that I know that this is what you want me to do, what I always wanted to do in the first place. Sometimes we don't want to hear what God has said because it messes us up. It messes with how we think the world should work. It messes up because it messes us up because it doesn't agree with what I believe or think about the world. Sometimes I don't want to listen to God because it comes into conflict with my politics. Sometimes I don't want to listen to God because I have a better idea about how I think my life should go. And sometimes I don't want to listen to God or see or hear what he's already said, the signs he's already provided, because it just is simply what I don't want to do. And maybe you've experienced some of that or all of the above at some point. When we look at the Bible, in the New Testament, there was one group in particular, the Pharisees. This was the group we know because we read it over and over. They loved to look good. They wanted people to know not only, look at me, look at how spiritual I am, but they liked to do it in ways that would put everybody else down. Look at all you sinners and look at me, at how great I am. And they often asked for signs. And we read actually in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus has a very strong reaction to this. What does it say? Verse 38 of Matthew 12 puts it like this. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." In other words, prove it that you're the real deal. Now we know, because we know the whole story, or we've read more of the story, that I don't know if they really wanted a sign. They more wanted Jesus to do something that would allow them to trip him up in some way, or to say, "Gotcha, you must not be following God's will," even though he's Jesus. Knowing their hearts, their impure motives, or their selfish desires, Jesus responds strongly in verse 39. It says, he answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign." Challenge extended. This is a shot across the bow, especially to the religious establishment. And I think Jesus responds sharply in this instance, not because they were simply asking for a sign. There's nothing wrong with that. If we want to ask for a sign so that we can know and follow God's will, if we have that earnest desire in our heart, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think Jesus has to respond so strongly in this case because he knows what's going on in their heart, that they're not interested in following the will of God. They're more interested in looking like they are. I would call what the Pharisees and teachers of the law are doing in this and other instances a kind of performative religion. They are performing in public so that everybody thinks that they are spiritual and good. But it betrays what's going on in their heart, because in private, they are a complete mess and they don't get it. And I think we can see similarities in different aspects of our world, non-religious especially. The Pharisees wanted to look good in public, but they had no real transformation in private. And I want to be careful. I don't want to lump all of them together, because there were, I'm sure, individual Pharisees who were earnestly trying to seek God. We think of other people like Nicodemus, or maybe others who really wanted to know more. Many of them, though, because Jesus is often harsher with them, could appear to be super spiritual, but yet they wanted to keep on holding on to power and control. If we're honest, and this is the honest truth-telling part, sometimes we do a similar kind of thing, because our hearts are not always aligned with God. We don't follow him perfectly. We know this. But God is saying, even if you aren't, come back to me and you get another shot. Earnestly seek me and you will find me. Follow me, obey me, and I will lead you. Sometimes we do act like Pharisees, because you know what? God's will, it's not always convenient or comfortable. Sometimes he wants us to do things or go places or change things in us that are difficult. To say it another way, using some of the language from last week, we want God to provide an open door, yet we want that while we still have a closed mind and a resistant heart. And God may give you an open door, but if our mind is closed and our hearts are resistant, we can walk through and it won't change a thing. This is what the Bible says in James chapter 1. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." And I forgot to put the next verses on a slide, but I really want to read them, because that sounds good. Ask God. If you feel like you're lacking wisdom, ask him for it. Our God is a generous God. He will give generously if you ask him. It says, it will be given to you. But then there's the warning that comes right after it. It says this, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Oh, I did put that up there. Thank you. Oof. So, yes, we can ask God for wisdom, and he is generous to give it. But when we receive God's wisdom, he says, be careful what you ask for. Because then there's an expectation there that you actually do and follow what I say. If you need direction in your life, ask the Lord. Maybe it's a particular season that you're in right now where you're a little unclear. If you want to follow God's will, I've said this a couple times, get to know God's heart. Get to know his heart in a new or deeper way. The more you know God, the more you will know his will. Not just for you, but for the world. So that's the first one. Sometimes we get trapped or tripped up when we want more and more signs. The second one, second misstep we can make, wanting or waiting for more and more clarity. Now, clarity, again, like signs, by itself, in a vacuum, is not a bad thing. It's good to have some clarity in certain instances so that you have an idea of where to go or what to do. But sometimes when we want more and more clarity, one of the reasons is we don't really want to follow God's will. We're trying to avoid it too much before we act. Like, oh, I just need more clarity before I can take a step. Lord, I need like 5 more signs and like 6 more steps of the plan before I can actually follow you. We talked about this just a little bit last week, that there's this tendency to overanalyze. Analyzing is not wrong. Reflecting, planning, all of those things, it's when we take it to the extreme as an excuse not to move. We should think deeply. We should take things into consideration when making decisions. We want to take wise steps, but sometimes we're scared. And so we delay and stall. Waiting for total clarity is impossible. We live in a sea of options where you walk into a grocery store and you have 50,000 kinds of water. If you're waiting for total clarity on which one is the Lord's water, you'll never get it. You could be waiting until Jesus returns before you get an answer. Waiting for more and more clarity often masks our fear. We don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to make a misstep when acting on God's will. What's the phrase that you've said it before? Paralysis by analysis. Yeah. Analysis is not wrong. I like to analyze things. I'm kind of a science-minded person. But when you keep on analyzing over and over and over again, it just paralyzes you. Exactly. Making no decision is still a decision. Last week we said that a no from God is still an answer and a direction. It's a direction of which way not to go. Needing more clarity, actually, I think sometimes if we need too much clarity, it actually prevents us from seeing what God is doing right in front of us. We miss the things and people that God has placed in our path. Sometimes we say things like, well, I'll pray about it. And that can be a good thing. That is a good thing. But sometimes we say, well, I'll pray about it, but in truth, we know that we just don't want to do it. So we'll use that as a stalling technique or to get out of a situation. Well, I'll think about it. I'll let you know. And we avoid making a hard decision. I was thinking about this idea of having complete clarity. If you have complete clarity, what do you need God for? What do we need God for? if we are totally certain about things. Complete clarity means that we can decide without even needing faith. And is that the life that Jesus has shown us? Is that the life that we live? Far from it. Is Jesus calling us into a faith-free life? To wait until everything is all clear ahead, all the lights are green, and the runway is smooth and prepared? No. That's far from what he calls us to. Hebrews 11:6 says it interestingly. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You could almost replace earnestly with faithfully seek him. The writer is saying that if we need complete assurance before taking action or obeying God, then we are without faith. The paradox with waiting too long or waiting for more clarity is that sometimes the longer we wait, the less likely we are to obey. We can talk ourselves out of it. I heard it described as we can walk ourselves into disobedience by waiting too long. This is hard because we've talked about the idea of waiting, that sometimes we do have to wait for the Lord, wait upon the Lord. We have a song about that. But sometimes we take that as an excuse to wait too long. Proverbs 3, it's on t-shirts and mugs and keychains. Some of you have it memorized. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on what? Your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. The other word for submit is acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Straight. Not easy, but straight. He will show you the way to go, even if it's not easy. Proverbs 3 doesn't say trust in your brain, no matter how great it is. Don't trust in your logic, your reasoning, your data, your friends, or what you read or see online. It could be AI generated in the first place. Lean not on your own understanding. It requires us to trust and rely on God if we truly want to seek and follow his will. There is no other way. In all your ways, submit to him. It's a word we don't like. It's a word that God has said. Submit. Acknowledge him. I looked up that word. It actually originally means to know God. Not just to know him in your head, in your brain, but to know God in a deeply, relationally, experiential way. To know God in this way cannot be done from afar. It cannot be done in the abstract. And it cannot be done by looking elsewhere or having someone else do it for you. This is a kind of knowing where you have to engage in a deep relationship and experience God directly, firsthand. There is no secondhand or thirdhand knowing in this sense. So how are we going to connect with the Creator and Redeemer and Sustainer of life? These are one of those eternal questions. How will I connect so that I might be able to know God as he knows me? He will make our paths straight when we do. This is far more of a heart thing than a brain thing, even though we need our brains as well. How would Paul describe it? Well, it was the verse that we shared last week. Paul would probably say, this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Will we know if a decision is the right one? Probably not, always. Will we know all the details in advance? Not by a long shot. Will you see the whole path mapped out for your life? Never. And in fact, even if you did, you probably wouldn't want to in the first place. Will it make us anxious at times? Oh yes, it will. But God says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. That's why it's called faith. Clarity or certainty isn't guaranteed. All it requires is a step of obedience towards God, even if you aren't sure. When God called someone to action in the Bible, what did it require? It required faith. It required them to have enough faith to follow, to obey him, to trust him. You can look at so many examples in the Bible about this. Abraham, leave your home. Go to this other place that you know nothing about. And the only answer is, yes, Lord. Man, that must have been scary. Noah, build a big boat way far away from the ocean. That makes no sense, Lord. Trust me, you're going to want it. Jonah, go share my word with people you think are the enemy. No, I'm going to run away. Don't worry, I'll bring you back. Mary, carry the Son of God. Give birth. At your age, and in a culture that would look down upon you for doing so. Peter, get out of the boat and come to me. All of these, and we could have listed hundreds of them, take faith. Maybe you're stuck right now, not because God hasn't spoken, but because fear is making you afraid to do what he's already told you to do. Following God, saying yes, is an exercise of faith. Clarity isn't promised. That drives me nuts sometimes, if I'm honest. So that's number two. Number three, sometimes it's when we are waiting until everything is easier. Lord, when I get my life situated, then I will step forward into your will. This season's a little tricky right now, but next season I'm full, my schedule's wide open, Lord. Things are too hard right now. I'm preaching to myself too on this, so don't worry about that. Sometimes we miss acting on God's will because it seems too hard or too costly or too difficult. So what do? We avoid it. This must not be God's will. I thought it would be way easier than this. I just want to follow Jesus. It should be smooth sailing. I didn't know it was going to be this hard, Lord. It's just not the right time. I could be so much more effective, God, if things were less chaotic in my life right now. Anyone resonate with any of these kind of, we make these kinds of excuses. We explored this a little bit last week when we said that God opens doors, provides straight paths, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to be bumpy or difficult. The Bible often talks about difficulty and hard things and struggles. 1 Peter 3 even lays it out pretty strongly for us. It says, it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Ooh, this is a tough one. Suffering stinks. And waiting until everything is easy and going well might be convenient or comfortable, but sometimes it causes us to miss what God is doing or wanting to do through us and in us right now. We could bring up all those people that I just mentioned a few minutes ago. You think of even people like Moses. What did he do? Multiple times he kind of made excuses and like, oh God, I'm not this, I'm not that. How could you use me? Why would you want to use me? I stutter when I speak, blah, 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 whatever the case might be. There's always an excuse that we can make. But the truth is that following God's will is not always easy. And if we keep looking for an easier way or a better time to follow the Lord, then it might be that we're not really looking for Jesus to lead us right now. And that should sober us up real quick. Waiting until it's easier. I don't think I need to say any more on that. That's pretty self-explanatory. We've explored a lot of ground this month, but at the core, the overarching idea is that if we want to know God's will, then get to know his heart. And at the back of your bulletin on the bottom, I listed a couple of questions. I phrased them a little bit differently on the screen, but I want to end with just a couple of questions. And these are some questions that I think might be able to help you in some personal reflection, or maybe to work through with someone else as an act of your growing discipleship, or in a life group, or in with some other person. And these are not the only questions, but you might even have some of your own. But what I hope is that it will jumpstart our spiritual growth and actually give us the boldness to move forward in God's will for our life. Number one, where are you waiting for a sign when God has already given you a step? Where am I waiting for God to give me a sign when he's already spoken and I'm just not listening? Where am I waiting for more clarity and God is saying, step forward in faith? God is asking me to grow in faith. Maybe my clarity or need for it is fear. Maybe it's something else. Number three, where is God calling you to trust him enough to take a risk for his sake, even if it's hard? I wrote variations of these on the back of your bulletin, kind of shorter versions. So I would encourage you to reflect on this. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, but don't just do it in a vacuum. This is where I think it's important to surround ourselves with other people. Maybe get with somebody else in the next week or two. Talk with them. I know times in my life where we've had to make significant decisions that we sensed were God's will, but we wanted to be a little more sure. I would ask people. I would ask people that I trusted. I would ask my pastor. I would ask some of my trusted friends. Sometimes my family, although they're not completely unbiased. Talk with other people. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you so that when it comes to knowing God's will for you, you're able to move forward with confidence. Move in faith. Don't remain in fear. I'll end with one final scripture, and we're going to sing about this after communion. From Psalm 37:4, it says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Doesn't that sound good? It sounds good. That's why I just opened up to Psalm 37, because verse 4 is wonderful. We like those kinds of verses. Let me read the first three verses. "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun." In other words, have faith and obey, and God will shower his blessings upon us. Be in his presence. Enjoy him. Get to know him. And you'll get to know his will even more. Your sight will be enhanced. Your heart will change. Your desires will grow to be more like his. And that's when you begin to get what God wants. Because you want what God wants. You'll be eager to follow his will more and more. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you that when we earnestly seek you, that your word says we will find you. And so that's what I pray this morning. That as we seek to know your will and to follow your will, that we might do it earnestly, faithfully, that we would not be stuck or held back by fear, that you would transform our will to become more in line with your will. God, I thank you that you don't leave us out here to do this alone, that you provide the gift of your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, that you provide the wonderful blessing of sisters and brothers to walk alongside and beside us, sometimes to go before us, sometimes to lift us up and help us along. God, we thank you that we are not alone in this. I pray that you will continue to be at work in us. May your good work continue through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the fast-paced world that we live in, it's important to take those moments to really just rest. Allow the Lord to lead us and guide us forward. Thanks for being a part of worship today. And as you have come forward to the Lord's table and received Christ Jesus, so now live in him. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus, our Lord. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen and amen. Go in peace. And I hope you have a great week, church.